वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 3 लिबरेशन फ्रॉम द इल्यूसरी एनर्जी टेक्स्ट नंबर 17 श्रीराजोवाच यथैता ऐश्वरी माया यथैतामैश्वरी माया दुस्तराम आकृतात्मभि तरन्त्यञ्जस्तूलाधियो महर्षमिदमुच्यताम् श्रीराजोवाच यथेतामैश्वरीं मायाम् तुष्टारम् आघृतात्मभि तरन्त्यञ्जस्तूलाधियो महर्षमिदमुच्यताम् श्रीराजोवाच यथैतामैश्वरीं मायाम् तुष्टारम् आघृतात्मभि तरन्त्यञ्जस्थूलाधियो महर्षम् इदमुच्यताम् श्रीराज उवाच किङ्ग्नि सेड् यथा हौ एताम् दिस् ऐश्वरी ओफ् द सुप्रीम् लॉर्ड् माया मेटीरियल् एनर्जी दुस्तराम् अन्तर्पासबल् अकृत आत्मधि बै दोस् हु आर् नाट् सेल्फ् कण्ट्रोल् तरन्ति दे मे क्रोस् ओवर् अञ्ज ईसिलि स्थूला धिया पर्सन् हूस् इण्टेलिजेन्स् इस् डर्ट् बै मेटीरियलिस्टिक् अटाच्मेण्ट् महर्षे ओ ग्रेट् सेज् इदं दिस् उच्यताम् प्लीज् सर् किं ट्रान्स्लेशन् किं मीन्स् सर् ओ ग्रेट् सेज् प्लीज् एक्स्प्लेन् हौ इवन् ए फूलिश् मेटीरियलिस्ट् केन् ईस्लि क्रास् ओवर् द इल्यूसरी एनर्जी आफ् द सुप्रीम् लॉर्ड् which is always insurmountable for those who are not self-controlled. Purpose by According to Srila Sridhar Swami, Stula Dhyaya indicates those who ignorantly identify themselves with a gross material body and who are therefore unable to analyze the subtle laws of nature by which the soul transmigrates in illusion. See, the Jiva Goswami comments that Stula Dhyaya also indicates so-called pious persons who execute pompous religious ceremonies for material sense gratification rather than trying to prepare themselves to go back home, back to Godhead, by engaging in the loving devotional service of the Lord. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, King Nidhi was already an advanced devotee of the Lord and therefore knew that one can cross over the illusory energy, Maya, by surrendering to the lotus feet of the Lord and pleasing Him by pure devotional service. Therefore, the king was asking the question for the benefit of those who partly consider themselves very much learned, but in fact are addicted to materialistic fruitive activities, which increasingly entangle them in illusion. In this regard, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has quoted from the Amaratosha Dictionary to show that Amritatmati indicates Apurnatam or one whose life is empty. Every living being has an eternal relationship with the Supreme Living Being, Krishna. One may love Krishna by thinking of him as one eternal master, one's most intimate friend, one's beloved child, or the object of one's conjugal attraction. Of course, such ecstasies should never be considered with ordinary material emotions, which are perverted reflections of spiritual rasas or relationships. In the material world, we try to relish these same relationships of the servitude, friendship, parental love, and conjugal love, but the object of such feeling is a temporary material body, which is quickly devastated by the laws of nature. These loving feelings should be directed towards the spiritual body of the Supreme Personality, Krishna, who is the thrower of all beauty and transcendental bliss. One who has not learned the art of directing his love to Krishna is apurna, or one whose life is ultimately empty. According to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, one whose life is empty can also be called mandarbhi, or one whose intelligence is crippled by a lack of broad experience. King Nimi, a pure Vaishnava, was so kind that he asked, how can such a crippled-minded people cross over Maya in the easiest way possible, since by nature they are very lazy in spiritual matters? ॐ ज्ञानचन्द्रान्तस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्. वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणारघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदां सहगणालिता श्रीविशाखान्विताश्च. हे कृष्णा करुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशगोपिकान्ता राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते. तप्तकाञ्चनगौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. इन दिस पर्पस वेरी इंटरेस्टिंग पॉइंट इज मेंशन. There is a word tulabhi. There is a pious person who is executing a lot of religious ritualistic activities for sense gratification. We can see there are different kinds of pieties that can be performed. According to us, piety means one meaning is, you know, it's just doing some charity. And generally, materialistic understanding of charity is very, you know, very silly. That is, if we are just walking around the street, say, Swanson Street, and if we give $1 to a beggar sitting in the corner, that we consider as charity. However, according to Vedic literature, it's not really charity. Maybe it's just a charity in the mode of ignorance. Because we don't know the end result of what we are giving as charity. So charity should be given to people who are qualified. Otherwise, they may misuse the resources that we are providing. And as an end result of that, we may get reaction to that. So charity should be given to people who are qualified. So there is charity in the mode of goodness, that is, in it, not for name or fame, but given to qualified Brahmins who are ready to accept and who are ready to use that resources in the service of the Supreme Lord. And in the world also, there are so many people who are very charitable. You know, Mother Teresa, an example, you know, very charitable person. They have a missionaries of charity. And now we can see even the business, in the business world, even Bill Gates is giving on charity. A lot of his money, he has come out of his business as the main executive, and he has come out and he is giving part of his income, he is giving to people for charity. So the question arises, actually, which is better, to have some religious piety or religious background like Mother Teresa, or someone like Bill Gates who can provide a lot of money but he doesn't have any religious background as such? It is said Mother Teresa has become even more famous because of the color of religion, or by adding religion into her institution. It's not just charity, there is some religious part into it. So due to that, she has become even more prominent and famous. So now people are considering, what is the use of this religion? Because charity means, anyway, Mother Teresa is trying to save people from, you know, Calcutta and other places. She is giving a lot of money and a lot of other stuff for charity. But what's the use? Anyway, she doesn't have enough money and cannot give enough life supporting system. So what's the use? If we take a consider Bill Gates, he has got a lot of money and he can give something which is actually tangible. So one analysis is that, what's the whole purpose of adding this religious flavor into this charitable mission? Rather just give, have a sufficient fund, get the latest equipment and provide to those who need it. That's about it. And today is Diwali, so it's a special occasion. Diwali is also called Deepavali. Deepa means lamp, so it is a festival of lamps. It is a completely Vaishnava, it's a completely religious festival. However, it is, you know, nowadays it is misunderstood in so many different ways. One time we had a session with the Indian boys on Diwali, not recently, I think it was last year. And we were just inquiring to everyone, what do you mean by Diwali? Everyone is very happy, everyone wants to dress up nicely, everyone wants to give gifts. Okay, that's fine, everyone wants to be in a very enjoyable mood, but what's the meaning? What do you mean by Diwali? So we got quite a few, you know, responses, and it was quite, you know, quite amazing. And it has nothing to do with the real meaning of Diwali. One, you know, some people are saying, you know, look, this is the occasion in which all the family members can come together and can have a nice time. We can have a nice party. And also, it's very important because we can exchange gifts during this occasion. So it's nice. We are getting a lot of gifts. We are giving a lot of gifts. So nice. On top of that, it is, you know, it's a festival. When this festival comes, usually in India, you can see people clean up our whole house. They repaint everything. From the lawns to the attic and to the showroom and garage, everything. It's cleaned nicely, it is painted nicely, it is kept very beautifully. So, this is like a, you know, occasion where people want to celebrate. That is fine, but if you understand what the real meaning, it is, you know, far different from what they are doing. This is for kind of, you know, pious background. And if it is a bit tamasic, it means, you know, it's just drinks and, you know, just party. Diwali party. When I was working in India, we had in our company, there was a Diwali party. You know, initially the first part of the party was a bit of, in the around the corner in the office, there was some puja, a little bit of, you know, all the demigods are there from, you know, one end to the other end, and a little puja, and, you know, all the managing directors, all these people came and had a bit of all this stuff. And after that, you know, it is full on party, you know, all the drinks, beer, this, that, everything. So that is Diwali. Diwali means, you know, just a time to enter. Nothing more than that. And those who are into demigod worship, they say Durga killed some demon. So we are worshipping Diwali. I don't know which demon. Maybe Durga might have, you know, killed a demon during this day. But that's not the purpose for us to celebrate Diwali. The main reason for celebrating Diwali is that Lord Ramachandra, he returned to Ayodhya after 14 years of exile. And the residents of Ayodhya, they were in separation from Lord Ram. And when he arrived, they were so jubilous, they were so happy, they lit a lot of lamps and they invited Lord Ram along with Mother Sita and Lakshman. So that is the real significance of Diwali. So when we say Diwali means it is a festival of light. Deepa means light and Avali means a numerous in number. So many lamps. If you go in, maybe in the evening also, here we can see so many lamps are littered all around the place.
you know, India, you can see, or street after street, you know, lot of lamps, everywhere lamps. That is a night you can see lot of lamps and crackers. So you can't sleep practically because so much of crackers. When I was a kid, you know, we used to have Diwali celebration, it was like crackers all the time, all night. It is, you know, everywhere lamps, you know, the small ones, you know, diya we call, not so much of candle lights, but the ghee or the oil lamps with small ones, and everywhere, all the street. And in front of the house, whole house is decorated with these kinds of lamps. But it is very hard to know what is the real meaning of it. We were very happy with the crackers, we were happy with the sweets, we were happy with the gifts. However, to know the meaning and what is the message of it is quite hard. We have to approach devotees to understand this. And if you see, what is the real darkness of this world? It is said this material world is already dark. You know, the electricity here, the lamps here, the sun, moon, actually shows that this material world is dark anyway. And this all external arrangement, it is actually making it a bit bright with some light. Otherwise, it is a dark place. In the same, as much as the consciousness, the heart of the people, that is also quite dark. Because they lack transcendental knowledge. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, for devotees, he provides the shining lamp of knowledge. So, out of mercy, he gives the shining lamp of knowledge. And due to that, the consciousness, the heart can be transformed from complete ignorance to knowledge and can engage in the devotional service. However, in this world, if you see, you know, it's like people, they don't know what really they are doing. Even though they are repeatedly going through the materialistic activities again and again, they are not learning any lesson. It is said, you know, history just repeats. All the time, history just repeats. But no one learns from those experiences. It's very hard to learn anything from the experience. It doesn't happen. The Bhagavatam actually gives, you know, gives the real knowledge by which one can actually come out of that ignorance and get the real knowledge. And also, this day has one more significance. That is, this is the day on which Damodar Leela happened. So, Damodar Leela was actually happened on the Diwali day. So, for Vaishnavas, there is one more reason actually to celebrate Diwali. That is, this day actually the Mother Yashoda bound Krishna with a rope. So, it was like the whole scene behind this Damodar Leela is that Krishna was, you know, stealing butter. He was stealing all this stuff from all the houses. So, Mother Yashoda thought, I should actually, you know, make sure that my child, he doesn't go everywhere and he goes steal all this stuff. Rather, I should provide something better. She started thinking, whatever I am providing to him, that is not good enough. So rather I should prepare something really good. So she had lot of cows which were fed with special grass. So they were producing special milk. And using that milk, Mother Yashoda was preparing milk sweets for the pleasure of Krishna. And this day, Mother Yashoda, she was actually nursing Krishna. And while she was nursing and feeding him, she saw that, you know, the milk was boiling and it was about to go off. Then, you know, in fact, she was singing. She was beautifully singing glories of Krishna, pastimes of Krishna. And she was churning the butter. At the same time, Krishna was on her lap. Suddenly she left Krishna on the floor and she started going towards to attend the milk. This made Krishna so much angry. Then what he did, he took the butter off, he threw the pot, he took the butter off and, you know, he started throwing here and there. And he went inside the inner chambers of the house so that he can, you know, he can plunder more butter and more milk and more yogurt. So he went inside and he started taking all this stuff from the rafters. However, Mother Yashoda started following him, started chasing him. She could see all the little footprints all over the place, and she was just following the footprints. And she went inside the room, and he was trying to take all the butter, and suddenly, you know, he just had a look towards the side. Suddenly Krishna saw Mother Yashoda coming. Immediately he jumped and he ran. And Mother Yashoda, okay, she wanted to follow him. So she had a stick in her hand and she was following Krishna. This is an amazing scene because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of all the material and the spiritual world, and he is, you know, even the fear personified, fears of Krishna. However, Krishna is being chased by Mother Yashoda. This is actually apparently a contradictory scene. So Kunti Devi prays, you know, it's actually bewildering to think that, you know, how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is being chased by Mother Yashoda and his head is down and he's practically crying. How is he so fearful? It's not supposed to be, because he's, you know, he's Abhay. Even the devotees are known as, you know, Abhay Charanaravinda. Srila Prabhupada is Abhay. No fear at all. So how the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be so fearful of his own mother? Anyway, Mother Yashoda was able to catch him and to punish him, to give him a full lesson, she decided to bind him over the mortar. In fact, Krishna was so fearful that Mother Yashoda thought, you know, I will just throw off my stick so that, you know, he will not get more frightened. So she just threw off his stick and then took Krishna and he was about to bind him over a mortar. However, she tried with different ropes. Whenever she was trying with a rope, it was 2 inches short. She tried a bigger rope, still the length was 2 inches short, or 2 fingertips short. She was keep on trying. And finally, all the residents of Vrindavan, especially the elderly gopis, they were watching this leela. How is it possible that, you know, Mother Yashoda was unable to tie him, even though the length of this rope was so big and Krishna was so small? Still, it was practically difficult for her to tie him. And finally, Krishna, seeing the endeavor of his devotee, he agreed to be tied. And that's how he was, you know, he was with the mortar. And later we see, you know, he went over and he delivered Nalakuvera and Manigriva. So this is the pastime in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead is being conquered by his devotee, the love of his devotee. So this day actually signifies 2 things regarding the Diwali, regarding Lord Ram coming as a festival of light. It signifies how can we purify our heart, how can we bring light to our heart by, you know, taking shelter of Krishna consciousness. It is said, you know, in this dark age of Kali, actually Srimad Bhagavatam is the real light. It is said Purana Arka. It is the sun. It is the sunlight Srimad Bhagavatam has appeared in this dark age of Kali. And we can see by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu how the Hare Krishna Mahamudra is being spread all around the globe to dissipate the darkness of the age of Kali. So that is the real message of Diwali. That is, how can we apply to the process of the chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and how can we give to others this process so that the darkness of this whole world can be dissipated forever. And it's very interesting because it's a festival season. Tomorrow is Govardhan Puja, so it's a series, and the day after tomorrow is Prabhu's disappearance day. So tomorrow, we can also wait for tomorrow. That's a big day tomorrow, Govardhan Puja. Govardhan, Giriraj Govardhan is known. He can remove all the obstacles in the path of devotion. He can just dissipate. He can just shatter all the obstacles in the path of devotion. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the same time, he is the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. is known as Haridasa Varya, or he is the best among the servants of the Supreme Lord. So he has all the potency to remove all the obstacles, and at the same time he has all the potency to give us transcendental happiness. So we can actually, you know, pray to Giriraj for tomorrow, and we can pray to Lord Damodar and Lord Ram to help us to take shelter of holy name, to take shelter of the process of Krishna consciousness. So here, thank you. Any questions? Comments?
Yes.
Yeah, this is, but we are just out of convenience, we are celebrating it on Saturday. Yeah. I don't know about Diwali, which is the actual day. I know, but, you know, Tuesday was for the, yeah, Rasa Vedati. For Vaishnavas, it's going to say? Yeah.
And also, considering that Krishna's labels like eternal, and he can do anything he wants.
Yeah.
So then, how are you saying that the two things too short, you know, Dauda Lila happens today, and then Krishna leaves Govardhan Hill? Is this like, you know, because how old is he when he leaves Govardhan Hill?
Yes, it's seven days.
Three or four when he was.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I can't understand differentiation of time.
Is it, but did it happen on the same, was Krishna same age when both things happened?
Sorry?
You know, was he of the same age when both of these leelas happened?
Oh,
you
know, okay.
You understand?
So
yeah.
Like 7 years after.
Yeah, could be.
Oh,
yeah. I don't know exactly the age when Krishna performed Damodar Leela and when he let it go. Anyone knows? Must be, no?
Okay.
Any other comments?
Also, I have another question. So you're saying that acts of philanthropy and charity, that they are just punyas.
Yeah.
Then, so if those acts of charity and like compassion had not been shown, then the people in the world wouldn't know how to like ascribe to giving acts of charity if no one had done those things before. Yeah, there's punya, it's just punya, but it's not on a spiritual platform. But if those people hadn't done that and they hadn't just been called hard,
yeah,
you know,
that's
like
right.
Then the people today would go, oh, Mother Teresa, she was the same.
Yeah. The point is, it has its place.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean it is absolute.
Yeah.
It has its place. But again, as devotees, we have to be careful. Because we cannot just give in charity just like others do.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, giving meat is also considered charity in this world.
I feel like that we're actually committing offense by,
yeah,
it is. By offending people who, you know, like giving charity.
Yeah, look, you know, Red Cross gives meat. You know, it's just mostly distributed meat products.
Yeah.
So how can we consider it's charity? It's, you know, it's the mode of ignorance. So it is, there are charity in the in materialistically speaking, there are so many kind of charities happening. But that is also again classified. Some are in the mode of ignorance. Like giving, you know, meat. It has a sinful reaction.
Yeah.
Though one thinks that okay, one is giving in charity, it is good. However, since you know, it is completely wrong thing they are doing, they get the reaction for that.
So even though it's in the mode of ignorance and that it's, say it's just an act of charity, what is the thing that Krishna takes? What does he take? He must take something from the offering. I mean, because there must be a slight portion of love.
Now you are telling about
that.
Offering to the public mass or offering to Krishna? Which one?
Public mass.
That is governed by the, if the materialistic activity.
Yeah.
Whether it's charity or something else, it is governed by the material laws.
Yeah.
So Krishna has Krishna's material law, and that will take care of. That is, you know, the law of karma. That will take care of that part.
Yeah.
Krishna doesn't directly involve in those kind of charity. Krishna has his law for, you know, taking care of the materialistic stuff. He has.
Yeah.
So that will take care.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not Krishna on the spiritual platform.
No. No, Krishna doesn't directly get involved
in
that. Yeah. But if you give prasadam, Krishna
okay.
directly get involved.
Yeah.
Because it's both are different.
Thanks.
For the puja, they like people cook the fish and where it is the fish is, and they offer it to Lord, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so many different varieties of fish is.
Yeah.
Then how it is been celebrated?
Yeah. Oh, in the Govardhan Leela. Yeah, Govardhan Leela, Krishna asked everyone to prepare sumptuous feast. So much of prasadam, so much of bhoga was prepared by the residents of Vrindavan. And everything was, instead of Indra, everything was offered to Govardhan. And Krishna, in the form of Govardhan, actually personally, he took all the bhoga and he ate all the bhoga. Krishna said, what's the whole point feeding Indra? You know, he gave the karma mimamsa theory. You know, what's the whole point? If you do your work, you will get the results. What's the whole point of worshipping Indra? Rather worship Govardhan, because Govardhan is, you know, all the cows are getting all the grass and everything from Govardhan. So rather worship Govardhan and give all the peace to Govardhan. So Rasalita Vrindavan accepted and they gave all the foodstuff to Govardhan, and Krishna personally accepted all those things, everything. So actually Govardhan Leela, you know, his Indra's pride was smashed and the Govardhan Puja was inaugurated and they started worshipping Govardhan, and also Krishna could spend a lot of time with full time with his devotees for 7 days and 7 nights, all the devotees. So, three purposes were satisfied by performing this pastime. Yeah, so tomorrow you can see, you know, there'll be a mountain of sweets will be offered and then distributed.
Yeah.